On 1116 SEN, here's the latest movements from Trade Central for mygoldenegg.com.au. Land off the plan properties before anyone else.
That is the Brett Show this afternoon. Anderson and Thomas there down at Betty Head, boys.
Good afternoon, BP. Phillips back at SEN Towers, as Half likes to say. Not a lot of movement at the station, but earlier the word did pass around that Patrick Dangerfield and pick 50 moving down the highway to Geelong and making its way to Adelaide. Picks 9, 28 and 19-year-old South Australian midfielder Dean Gore, who, Brett, just recap the sort of player that Dean Gore is.
Dean Gore is an inside-outside combination midfielder who can also play half-forward. And look, at times he's played half-back as well. So he's got some real versatility to him. He's a good, strong body. He's a good size. I think he's going to be a really good addition to the Adelaide midfield. And in time, Scotty Thompson, you think, has only got one more year in him. And Patrick Dangerfield going out the door now. They need to boost that midfield and bolster it. And to get a player like him on top of the picks that they've also got in exchange for Paddy Dangerfield, I think Adelaide have come out of this quite well. And I think Geelong might even have considered that they might have had to give up slightly overs to get the deal done. But I think that's just the case of trying to get a player like Paddy Dangerfield in the door. I think it's really good for both clubs that they're able to get it done so early.
Okay, so that gives the Crows quite a strong draft hand at the moment with pick 9, 13, their second round pick, plus now they add 28 as well. They might package that up, do you think, to get a little bit higher up the order and maybe get somebody like a Malera, who you think will go quite highly this year?
Yeah, they could do that. But also, you've got to remember that 2 years ago, they lost their draft picks in the Kurt Tippett saga as well. So they've been a little bit devoid of new talent coming into their footy club by the basis of what picks got taken away. So to have multiple first-round picks is something a little bit novel for Adelaide at the moment, and they're in a position they haven't been in for the last few years. They might also see it as an opportunity to get two first-rounders in that that can help replenish their stocks, because there's going to be that gap in their group in terms of their age demographic because of the inability to be able to draft for a couple of years thanks to what happened with Kurt Tippett.
Aaron Francis as well is another player. Because Dangerfield is coming home, would they be less inclined to go for someone from another state? Would they perhaps look at their hometown kids first?
Oh, I don't think it really matters to them. I remember when Patrick Dangerfield was drafted at the time that there was a fair bit of uproar in South Australia for Matty Rendell overlooking Brad Ebert, who ended up going to West Coast in order to peak Patrick Dangerfield, because not only was he a Victorian, but he was also staying in Victoria for the first year that he was at the Crows, because he had to finish year 12. So that was there was a lot of talk at the time that they'd made a mistake there. But I think ultimately Matty's proven to have picked a pretty good player, and he's proven to be the right selection. Even though he has come home, he's given them, what, 7 or 8 years now of outstanding service. So I don't think they'd be motioning in or singling in on South Australians. I think they'll just pick the best possible player like they did last year with Jake Lever.
So BP, the first and only deal done so far.
Yeah, and it's getting a lot of love, I can tell you guys, off the SMS from the Geelong fans. So if you're just turning on the radio, deal done. Paddy Dangerfield officially is a Geelong player. BT, let's start at Collingwood. And you've had a catch-up with Derek Hine, their recruiting boss today. Plenty of activity as they try and secure some players.
Yeah, obviously their first one that they need to get sorted out is Adam Treloar. Then they'll move on to Nathan Freeman at the Saints, and obviously James Aish swapping places as well. Heard you chat with Mark Robinson before, saying that they could hardly only offer Brisbane a second-round pick and then request a first-round pick from the Saints for Nathan Freeman, who has yet to play a game, as we know. Let's hear from Derek Hine. He spoke to the media briefly before the start, the official start of the trade period.
Oh, well, we'd like to think so, but Brisbane have been pretty firm in where they sit at the moment, so unless there's some sort of give there, who knows.
Jeremy Howe, you got any interest there?
No, not at the minute. I mean, our priority is to get Adam done, and then we'll look at, you know, other potentials post that.
Do you think future picks are going to be required to get the Treloar
deal? Yeah, I think we've discussed. We've had some preliminary discussions with GWS, and that's probably going to be a likely scenario, yeah.
What about Nathan Freeman? What are you chasing there? What do you think he's...
Oh, we're not going to be silly about it. I mean, clearly Nathan's an early first-round draft pick, and we've had some preliminary discussions with St Kilda, and we're really comfortable where that's going. I'd like to get it done sooner rather than later so we can all move on. But, nothing surprises us in this week, does it?
Same with Kennedy and Melton.
Well, we actually haven't spoken to Melbourne since Ben's indicated that's the direction you want to go. In Paul Seedsom's case, he hasn't indicated a club where he'd like to get to. So we're sort of just waiting on that one. Oh, probably not. I wouldn't have thought. I think with Adams, depending. I'm not sure what GWS are doing behind that. So we'd like that card to fall earlier, sooner rather than later. So I'm sure GWS have got some other stuff they're doing. And, you know, as you well know, there's a lot of deals that potentially sit in behind it.
Derek Hine having a chat down at Etihad Stadium. So the debate about Nathan Freeman, Brett Anderson, first round, second round, what he's actually worth. I mean, that's getting a lot of commentary, as you can imagine, on the SMS.
Very difficult to understand just what he's worth to BP, because he's played 3.5 games in 2 years, yeah. 3.5 AFL games. And yep. Yeah, look, he showed a little bit in his NAB Challenge game down at Geelong that night. But outside of that, he's shown very little. So it is an interesting one, because you would think that Collingwood would hope to recoup something. Well, they're not going to be able to recoup what they actually outlaid on him in terms of a top 10 pick, but no doubt they'd be looking for something back end of the first round. But I'd say that then you'd be looking at St Kilda to be saying, OK, well, he hasn't played any games yet. We haven't seen much. And when you look at what James Aish is possibly going to bring in, and he's at least played, and we've seen 20-odd games out of James Aish, you'd have to say that Aish's value is a fair bit higher than Nathan Freeman's. So I think a second-round pick for me is not a bad deal, but I know Collingwood are going to try and see what they can get a little bit more out of that one.
Okay, let's focus in on the Demons.
And we heard Jeremy Howe's name brought up there. Derek Hine saying that at this stage not that keen, whether or not they ask the question if it falls through with either Gold Coast or North Melbourne, the two other clubs linked to Jeremy Howe. But Jay Clark from the Herald Sun reporting he has officially told the Demons that he does want out. Obviously, a few other players that they're interested in coming and going. Tumpus Deport, which is what Brett Anderson first reported. Jack Watts, is he on the table? Seems like he has been the last couple of years. And then perhaps Ben Kennedy coming in. We'll get Brett Anderson's thoughts on that, but for now, let's hear from Josh Marnie from the D's.
I've got a few priorities, whether it happens today or throughout the week. We'll work those things out, but really during this period, we want to improve our list and improve our draft position. I haven't had discussions yet about that. Obviously, that they're interested in Jimmy, and we'll work out through this week who else is interested and whether Jimmy, you know, we're keen to keep him as a club as well. Yeah, I think at this stage, through every player, you manage them through and see, you know, which the value for them at your club and also the value for them at another club. Yeah, we still think we're a chance. I know there's been a lot of discussion of all these clubs are interested, and doesn't surprise us at all. We still think that, you know, we'd like him to be a Melbourne player, but again, with every player, he's got a decision to make, and we'll have to work through that in the next few weeks.
Will you listen to offers for Jack Watts?
I think we've had discussions about Jack. I don't think at this stage we will be.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, the Jack Watts one. Where do you think that's going to go, Brett Anderson?
By listening to Josh there, he seems to make you think that it's unlikely, but I don't think anything's unlikely, especially with Melbourne's list as it stands right now. I think they'd be open to all offers on probably 40 of the players on the list. Out of the 44, you would think that Jesse Hogan and a couple of others are certainly off limits, but I think any deal that arises that could potentially improve the footy club should be at least listened to and then taken into consideration. So look, Chris Dawes is the other one that we're hearing, as we mentioned earlier, that could be one who's at least being spoken of behind closed doors right now. So look, Melbourne are going to have a fair bit to do. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Kennedy and Jimmy Tumpus end up being part of a three-way trade somewhere, so that's one to keep an eye on. Port certainly keen on Jimmy Tumpus. I expect that he will get there. Kennedy will be a Melbourne player. Tom Bugg, the other one who we're expecting to be a Melbourne player as well. So the Demons are going to be busy with what's going on, and ultimately now they also wait on what's going on with Jeremy Howe in terms of a club of preference for him, because Gold Coast and North Melbourne mentioned Collingwood's interest, whilst Derek said that there wasn't much there as it stands right now. Mm-hmm. I think after they know what's going on with Ben Kennedy and Treloar in terms of what picks are coming in, if Jeremy Howe hasn't made up his mind by then, that could certainly be a possibility as well. So the Gold Coast one could be a chance to swap their first round pick, so Melbourne flip up to pick 3 for Jeremy Howe. Okay. And Gold Coast come back to pick 6 and also pick up Jeremy Howe as well. So that would give Melbourne the pick of any player in the draft outside of Josh Shackie and Jacob Wietering. And it might also allow Gold Coast to pick the same player at 6 if it were to play out that way,
yep,
that they might have been looking to take at 3. So a bit of a win-win there for both clubs.
Okay, BT, the Hawks, bit of news.
Yeah, Jed Anderson is the player whose name has been brought up from the NT. Obviously struggled for opportunities with Hawthorn so strong. Was one of their better performers in the VFL Grand Final loss to Williamstown. Has been linked with the West Coast Eagles. Let's hear from Graham Wright from the Hawks, who spoke on his way into the start of the trade period.
He's requested to have a look, and we've said, listen, that's fine from our point of view. We see him as a required player, so we'll just see what happens over the next few days. But, he has requested to have a look, and we've said that that's okay.
What would you want in return?
we haven't thought too much about it, but we certainly would want something decent. We see Jed as a fantastic young talent. He's 20 years old. He's been a he's had a couple of injuries on the way through, and even this year when he's been, required to play, he's actually had a couple of injuries that have stopped him playing. So from that point of view, you know, we see him as a required player, and we're hoping that we can keep him.
Any interest in Chris Yaron?
No.
A couple of retirements and Matt Suckling don't give you any sort of room to move in terms of getting another established player?
Yeah, not really. I mean, we always factored in that Haley and Lakey would probably retire, so that's been factored into our projections, so that doesn't really leave us with a lot of room.
Brendan Whitecroft,
he's a free agent, like Suckers, an unrestricted free agent, so we're not sure what that means for him. We're hoping to have a spot for him, but there might be others out there who want to obviously get him to their club.
All right, they are the thoughts of Graeme Wright, of course, recruiting list manager boss down there at the Hawks. They want to lose all these young players who obviously haven't got a lot of opportunity in a very successful side, Brett Anderson, but those guys are also weighing up, gee, do I want to stick around? Maybe not guaranteed total game time, even though they're going to probably expose a few more young players, or do I go elsewhere? The decision's to be made.
Yeah, especially in Jed Anderson's case, he'd be playing, you would think, 14 or 15 other AFL clubs as a mid-sized or small forward, and who could push up and play a little bit through midfield. So it is an intriguing situation. We've seen Ryan Schoelmakers over the last 2 years, though, who's had some interest from other clubs, and he's backed himself in. He's stayed, and in the end, he was rewarded with a premiership medal and a new two-year contract. So it does show that to these young guys, if you do put your head down and stick around, that opportunities can pop up, and if you can make the most of them, that there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. So that's one to keep out for. But also, Chris Yaron has been linked with Hawthorn. Graeme Wright pretty much dismissed it there.
Yep.
As I mentioned earlier, I think that was just a ploy between Carlton and that to get a bit more interest in him than what there might have possibly been. Soss and Graeme, I think, are pretty close on that one. So I'd still expect Chris Yaron to go to Richmond there. Hawthorn shouldn't be too active, I wouldn't have thought, in other areas. Brendan Whitecross was named there. We think Brisbane have got some interest in him. So with Matty Suckling moving on, there should be a bit of a chopping and changing of that secondary tier of players at Hawthorn. But as he said, with Brian Lake and Hale going out, that they knew that they were going to be fairly tight as it was, that they're probably just going to look to the draft after this and just see what's going to float through there.
Okay, beautiful stuff. Guys, we'll come back after the break. More from B1 and B2 down there at Trade Central. On in the middle of Sports Central, all the news of the day, and there's a big footy focus with B1 and B2, I suppose on B3. I imagine I've got to settle for that today, because the boys are down at Trade Central. Brett Thomas with all the news of the day. Brett Anderson with all the detail alongside him. BT, let's focus in on Sydney and what's happening with them.
Well, we know that Lewis Jetta is likely on his way to West Coast. If they get Jed Anderson and Jack Redden, that's a tidy little trade period for the grand final runners-up, BA.
They've done quite well if that does pan out that way, BT. I was just trying to think, was it BT or BP? We go B1, B2 and B3. It sound like the car parks at the MCG.
Dizzy.
But, they'll certainly come out well out of that one if that is the case. It's just a case of what they will need to give up in return for Lewis Jetta. Callum Sinclair's name has been raised as a
going the other way.
Ruck alternative for Matty Leuenberg, who we expect to go to the Bombers in as a free agent. So they are looking for ruckman. I think they were looking for a ruckman before Mike Pike has impending retirement. He still hasn't retired, but all the good information is that that's more likely than not that will happen. So they could be looking for two ruckmen through the trade period, and there's plenty out there when you think of blokes who aren't getting opportunities at other clubs. So I don't think there's a total shortage on that, so we might see some action in from Sydney in terms of some big men as well as some defenders.
Okay, well, speaking of the rucks and Sydney, obviously Matthew Leuenberger's name has been thrown up as well, although we believe he's more likely to end up at the Bombers. Tom Harley from the Swans spoke this morning, and I think the first question was about their ruck situation.
Oh, look, we had an interest in Matt for sure, and met him a couple of times, but we haven't put an offer to Matt, never did. So, look, I think there's a bit of action today, but probably not likely to be us.
Callum Sinclair, is he a man of interest with Mike Pike now, all but retired?
Well, Mike hasn't retired, to start off with. He's weighing up his options, he's weighing up his future, both on and off the field. So I guess the interest in Callum is generated because he's a West Coast player as much as anything else. Look, he's a good player. We like the way he plays, but we haven't, to be truthful, sat down with West Coast in any sort of meaningful way regarding Lewis Jetta. Jetta's the one that sort of holds all our cards at the moment for this period.
ruckman as a priority, ruckman, maybe even two ruckman priorities?
Oh, look, we'll see. I mean, I think ruck stocks across the competition are a bit thin, and so it's an area we think we can improve our list for sure.
You've got ageing defenders with Heath Grundy, Ted Richards as well. Is Michael Talia and a young key defender a person of interest for you going this week?
Look, I think Michael's a good young player. He's got some really good traits, we think, as a key defender. Again, we haven't explored too many of those options at this stage. So, as I say, Lewis Jett is our one player who's declared he'd like to go home to Perth, and obviously West Coast playing a grand final. We've had to delay what we can potentially look at there, so we'll canvass all those ideas this week.
Tom Harley there from the Swans with some news on what they are trying to achieve over the trade period. BA, you want to extend any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you can pretty much confirm that Matty Littleberg is going to Essendon on that deal, because they're the two clubs who were totally in on him, and the fact that Tom Harley used the terms as had and haven't put offers to him, and you'd expect some movement on that today suggests that should happen today in terms of Matthew Leuenberger and Essendon. The key defenders one's interesting. We first raised Michael Talia to the Swans very much early in the month, BT, on Trade Central. I think it would have been in our second or third show that we did, so probably early September some stage, that Sydney had some interest in him, and I think that Tom's basically confirmed it there without going into too much detail on that one. So look, they need some defenders. When you look at their defensive stocks through the kneeful as well, they aren't super deep for tall defenders when you consider that they've got Ted Richards and Heath Grundy, and then behind that in the kneeful they've got Harry Marsh, they've also got Alir, who they've just recontracted for another year. There isn't great mature depth and proven depth through that key position stock down back, and we know Alex Johnson's had his knee issues. He's going in for another reconstruction soon, so he's had his problems. So their back half is probably their big concern. We look at their midfield and we see how strong it is, and we look at their forward line and think how many stars are up there. It's their back half that's probably really holding them back from, again, being, I guess, a premiership contender next year. So if they can fix it and make some real changes down there with some younger talent coming in, you could certainly say that they're on their way to fixing what would be their Achilles heel.
Obviously, that small matter of the AFL investigation into Talia leaking some information to his brother at the Crows, that I guess would need to just be finalised, tidied up, and then he's on his way to the Swans.
Yeah, look, it's probably an issue at the moment because they just don't know where it sits as it stands right now. So you've got to take it into consideration. If there was to be a result in this where he would be suspended, look, we don't know that at all. We're guessing on what could possibly happen, because if he were to be suspended, that would totally impact his trade value and what clubs might think of doing with him there. So
maybe it would just be Mr. and Mrs. Tully just grounding him for a week.
It could be.
Maybe it should just be a family issue.
It could be. Look, I think the whole thing's a little bit ridiculous myself, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, God, I can't help but agree with that. Now, the Bombers, obviously Jake Carlisle's a big talking point today, and whether this deal can get done with the Bombers, who are adamant what they want. Ariel Steinberg's name's also been floated around today.
Yeah, we mentioned Ariel Steinberg earlier as one who might look at heading to Sydney, or Sydney might look at bringing him up as some defensive cover. He spent a fair bit of time in the VFL this year, playing mostly as a key defender, though, and he did quite well playing as that sort of undersized key defender against some of the bigger types. I know he had a really good game on Tom Boyd when he was playing in the VFL there against Footscray. So, look, he's one who might be a make-weight there going up. He's out of contract, so there's a little bit to play out on that one, but it's a new name that we hadn't heard until today pop up, and I guess over the last few days and the last few weeks, really, because it's been going for so long since Lachie Henderson announced that he was leaving Carlton and then eventually wanting to get to Geelong. There's been lots of names come up early, but in the last sort of 2 weeks, or last week especially, there hasn't been too many new names come up.
Now, Jake Carlisle, we understand, is in Las Vegas at the moment. Just came back from a European holiday for 10 days and then straight off to Las Vegas. That's the life of a footballer, I guess. So he's leaving
tough gig.
Those negotiations in the hands of his manager, Anthony McConville. As you said, obviously there's a really early standoff between the Saints and the Bombers. The Bombers want pick 5. The Saints say they're not giving it up. Whether or not they swap down the draft board, pick up another pick somewhere from a club. Adelaide obviously has now a few picks to play with, and then they work out a three-way trade for Jake Carlisle.
Yeah, look, I think that one's going to take some time in terms of the Carlisle deal. We understand that there's a fair bit of water to go under the bridge on that one, and that both parties are a long way apart in terms of what they're wanting and then what they're willing to give up. So I don't think we can be expecting that one anytime soon.
What about Brendan Goddard?
Yeah, look, we mentioned Brendan Goddard earlier. It keeps whispers keep popping up about him. If there was to be a Ryan Griffin situation, and some clubs have mentioned that they're hearing some players' names pop up, that he might be one to keep an eye on. Look, nothing in concrete there at all. I know there's been a fair bit of SMS traffic back in the studio on him, and there's been a bit of discussion. And I know Robbo, we heard him earlier say he'd be shocked if he wasn't playing at Essendon next year. But it's just one to keep an eye on, because there are some names I think they're going to bob up in this trade period where people are going to be a little bit surprised. Just for the 49er fans out there, I hope they're not watching that, because I'm watching here on updates.
Giants back in front.
Giants are in front with 21 seconds to go, and they've absolutely botched it.
Oh, I tell you, this has been the longest minute I've been sitting here watching this
for
about half an hour.
That's American sport.
30-27, the Giants led at 17 seconds on the clock. WA none for 21, they're chasing 2:26 knock over the Vics. Let's focus in on the Blues, BT.
Yeah, they've got a fair bit to work through. Obviously, we've spoken a little bit about some of the players going out. Obviously, now attention turns from Geelong's point of view to Lachie Henderson. We believe that'll be a future first-round pick. So, obviously, they're tied to how the Cats go next year. Chris Yaron to the Tigers as well. And then Levi Casbolt, who is on the trade table if the right deal comes across, perhaps to the Brisbane Lions, who might also find his way north along with Tom Bell. Still contracted, we understand he doesn't really want to leave. Let's hear from Stephen Silvani about those players and also some of the Giants players that could be making their way to Icon Park during the trade period.
I guess we'll chat to each club. Obviously, we've got some time allocated, so we'll be doing that today, yeah.
The GWS guys, which ones are you interested in? Which ones do you think you might end up with?
We've had discussions, obviously about Lachie Plowman and Phillips. So, we'll speak with the Giants again today and see what happens from there.
Is a first-round pick still your priority in exchange for Chris Yaron?
I think Chris is a contracted player with us, but we know he's an exceptional player, and, we're looking for an early pick there. If we can't get that done, he's still got a year left on his contract.
There's some murmurings about Levi Casbolt. Is he still a required player?
He's also a contracted player. Our understanding is that his management's had some inquiries from rival clubs, so we're due to meet those clubs today.
So you'd be open to something if something good comes along?
At the minute, we've got Lachie Henderson who's looking to get to Geelong, and to lose another forward wouldn't be ideal. So, we're happy to discuss, but we'll just see what happens.
Stephen Silvani, of course, deep in the Carlton camp now, responsible for rebuilding the list. Thoughts, BA?
Look, I think when it comes to deals, you can never say never when you're a bottom club. I don't think that there's a player there who you'd sit there and totally rule off the table. Patrick Cripps might be one who they might just sit there and not take any offers on. But when it comes to Levi Casbolt and players like that, you can never say never on a deal. Maybe a bit of Brisbane with Levi Casbolt. So Carlton are going to be really busy. We know that Soss is going to come in, and he's had a few months now. He's had the whole season pretty much to, I guess, look at the list and analyse where they need to improve, players he likes, players he doesn't like. So you'd expect Carlton to be one of the major players in terms of players coming in and going out as he looks to revamp that list, because it not only did it underachieve, but it wasn't the strongest list in the competition at the start of the year. And now with a new coach coming in, that list was set up for Mick Malthouse and what he wanted to do. Brendan Bolton comes in, he'll have his own thoughts on it. Soss comes in as well, his first year as the recruiting manager of Carlton. So a fair bit of work to go ahead for Carlton in this trade period.